coming to you in the spirit of musical discovery, past, present, and future. This is the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
Thank you.
the Allman Brothers from their 1972 LP, Eat a Peach. That was Les Brayers in A minor. And I believe that I bought that album brand new back when I was about 12 or 13 years old, cracked it open, and I could not believe the depth of the music, especially on Mountain Jam. And as a teenager, when I went camping up on Mount Cardigan here in New Hampshire, I brought my portable record player and batteries and played Mountain Jam from the top of Mount Cardigan, about 3,200 feet up there. It was quite the day. At any rate, this is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. And I'll launch into the tunes right after this.
Every year, thousands of people head out on the Appalachian Trail. Over 2,000 miles long, it's one of North America's most famous and beautiful hikes. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
So the Appalachian Trail is one of the very first national scenic and recreational trails designated by Congress. It was conceived by a gentleman by the name of Benton McKay, and he envisioned a simple footpath from Maine to Georgia.
Research biologist Jeff Marion.
The path was chosen by a fairly large number of individuals. They wanted to keep it at the height of the land. They wanted to keep it up at the sort of the spine of the Appalachian Mountains. So it generally does traverse the height of the land, you know, the ridges, the mountaintops and such. It also drops down and crosses valleys and goes through communities. And one of the issues that Benton McKay thought was very important was having the folks who hike the Appalachian Trail interconnect with the local folks that live along the Appalachian Trail and perhaps get out there and get to know people in these local communities. And so that was very much part of his vision. I think that the Congress and Benton McKay wanted to create a trail that would get people from cities out into the countryside, out into the woods, get them out hiking, the physical and mental benefits that would ensue from an active population of hikers. He wanted people from the city to experience the countryside and the simple living that goes on in the Appalachian communities that the trail traverses.
John Muir once wrote that thousands of tired, over-civilized people are beginning to find out that going to the mountains is going home. Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by Virginia Tech, inventing the future through a hands-on approach to education and research.
Thank you. To be.
song that seems as relevant today as it was back when it was sung by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. That's a group called Stay with their cover version of Chicago. Before that, we heard The Clientele with Tracy Had a Hard Day Sunday, and that's a cover version from the West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band. We started that set off with the Lupin the Third and the Lupin Three. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and I don't do a whole lot to promote my radio shows. Try to keep them very low-key and very much in the spirit of, say, the underground FM stations and shows back in the 1960s, back when the airwaves were a little bit freer and freeform radio was kind of bursting into the scene before it was all co-opted by corporate interests. But if you're interested, I have several programs that are archived on radioforall.net. All you need to do is a search. And my shows include Night Train to Mundo Fine, Music I Like to Call a Folk, and also the Ancient Peace Archive, which is spiritual music, New Age music, and music from the Jesus music era of the 1970s. Again, they're all archived on radioforall.net. That's radioforall.net. Back to the tunes and the playlist right after this.
You're listening to Victor Young and his Singing Strings, and you're on the Soundbeat. ...1940 was a banner year for Alfred Hitchcock. Two of his films, Foreign Correspondent and Rebecca, were nominated for a total of 17 Academy Awards. For the latter, he was nominated for Best Director, though he would lose to John Ford and The Grapes of Wrath. As a matter of fact, Hitchcock would be nominated in the category 5 times over his career, but would never take home a statue. Of his 144 compositions, Franz Waxman called Rebecca his favorite. He was invited to arrange the piece for the Standard Symphony Hour, a popular radio show on the NBC radio network. The arranged suite was broadcast, in the words of production manager Ray Clune, May 9th at 8:30 p.m. over the entire Pacific Northwest radio network, as far east as, but not including, Chicago. Listen to more episodes right now at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
This is the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick on 96.1 WCFILP.
I know just how it will be. As I watch the light beginning to dim,
and like a candle in the wind. precious little flowers, more and more each hour. You're like a precious little flower, blowing like the sun.
Mr. Freddie Hubbard with a tune called Sunflower. Before that, a band named Wilfred from a very scarce 45, A Candle in the Wind. We started off with another scarce 45 by a band called Hanson, not that Hanson, a different Hanson, and Take Me to Your Home. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS and 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. I've got some music now by Laurence Venet. That is not her real name. She was an amazing, amazing musician who recorded a lot of soundtracks back in the 1960s, 70s, and 1980s. We're going to hear some unreleased music by Jacqueline Thibault, aka Laurence Venet.
exploring science and the sea. It's been 65 million years since the last ammonites died off. Yet these creatures are whispering to geologists, helping them determine the ages of layers of rock that could be up to 200 million years old. Ammonites were relatives of modern-day squid and octopuses. But unlike those creatures, the ammonite lived inside a beautiful shell. The shell usually formed a coil, although some shells were straight or shaped like a helix. The shells consisted of several chambers. As the ammonite grew, it built new, bigger chambers to hold it and sealed off the old ones. It could fill the older ones with water or gas, allowing it to move up or down in the ocean, something that's similar to another modern-day relative, the nautilus. The first ammonites appeared more than 200 million years ago. The last vanished with the dinosaurs when a giant asteroid slammed into Earth. So ammonite fossils appear in layers of rock that span about 150 million years. In the 1850s, two scientists realized that the fossils were good tools for dating those layers, as well as any other fossils they might contain. That's because there were many different species of ammonite, each with a distinctive shell. Ammonites evolved quickly, so some species would vanish and others would appear over a short time span. And ammonites were found all across the planet. So ammonite fossils can allow geologists to date a rock layer to within a couple of 100,000 years, a mere blink of an eye in Earth's long history. Science in the Sea is available as a weekly podcast at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.